Matthew 19. Listen to this. He's talking about marriage in verse 3. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. This is Jesus speaking. The two shall become one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Who joined you together? Almighty God. It doesn't matter, even if you were non-Christians and you got married in a temple. Do you believe a husband and wife who were married in a temple or a mosque have been joined by God? I believe it. Do you believe God recognizes that marriage which is conducted in a court or in a temple or a mosque? Yes, because marriage is not for Christians. Marriage is for human beings. Adam was not a Christian. Adam was a human being. It was for a human being that God gave a wife. Because if you say that that marriage conducted in a mosque is not a valid marriage, then that woman is unmarried. You can go and marry her. Would you think of doing that? You'd get into trouble with the law of the land. She is married. God recognizes it. Because marriage was meant for human beings. And so what God has joined together, it doesn't matter. You say, well, I didn't pray and seek God's will before I got married. It doesn't make a difference. You think those people who got married, all the non-Christians who get married, seek God's will? Some of them don't even believe in God. But God accepts the fact that once a man and wife come together, they become one flesh, they are married in God's eyes. God has joined them and nobody should separate them. And so, the two have become one. And look at this wonderful word. I wish you would remember this all your life. Just this little expression in verse 6. They are no longer two, but one. They are no longer two, but one. That's the word of God. And then he says, therefore, nobody should separate them. And so if the devil tries to separate you, by separate, I don't mean divorce. Divorce is sort of the last stage where the marriage is dead. But long before that, when the devil's trying to separate you by you don't talk to each other for a few days, or you don't talk to each other for a few hours, or you don't talk to each other for 1 minute because you're angry, separation has come. May not be divorce yet. But there is a separation. If you're so angry with your partner that you won't talk to that person for the next 30 seconds, I tell you, separation has already come. It may not be divorce, but it's the first step towards it. If there's ever in a time in my life that I get so upset with my wife that I won't talk to her for the next 15 seconds, the devil's already come between us. Do you recognize that? Or do you say, well, it's not such a long time. I mean, I just got a bit upset for 5 minutes. You didn't get upset for 5 minutes, brother. The devil brought a division between you. Call it what you like. He took a scissors and cut something. He didn't cut the whole thing, but there is a cut there. And you got to stitch it up. You can keep on stitching it up. You can keep on having cuts and keep on having stitch it up. But your shirt will be full of stitches after a while. Why not avoid that? Why not recognize the Lord says you two are not two, you are one. And if you keep on thinking that the fault is with your wife, you're just following in Adam's footsteps. This woman, she's the cause of the problem, God. And don't forget, you gave her to me. So part of the problem is with you as well. Why in the world did God give me such a wife? Do you know there are Christian husbands who go around saying that? I can prophesy they'll never have a good marriage because they glorify the devil every single day. You glorify the devil. This is too big a problem. My wife is so bad, even Almighty God cannot change her. That's exactly like the Israelites said on the borders of Canaan. Oh, these giants are so big, even Almighty God cannot get rid of them. Well, you say that? None of them entered the promised land and neither will you. not because God couldn't do it, but because you feel that the problem is bigger than God. So the most important aspect of faith is, I don't care what your problem is, you must believe that God is bigger than the problem. The whole Bible teaches that, whether it's lack of wine in Cana or big giants in Canaan. Same thing. God is bigger than the problem. I don't care what it is. And we are in the new covenant where we can have faith. I don't consider myself and my wife as two, we are one. And anything that tries to come to separate me even for 5 seconds, that's the devil. That's not God. Anything. I don't care what it is. It could be just a little misunderstanding. You know, sometimes there's a little division in the mind. Then think of the devil. Come with a pair of scissors. He's already snipped up something in your mind. A little misunderstanding. A lot of problems between husbands and wives are due to misunderstanding in communication. You know, because we are fallen creatures. We're not perfect. Our understanding is not perfect. You may say something with one particular meaning, and maybe your wife is, or your husband is under some pressure at that time because of work or something else, or she's thinking about something else, and hears you and doesn't hear the spirit in which you've said it. Hears the words and interprets it in another way. Husband and wife. Which marriage has not experienced that? I say, if you say you haven't experienced that in your marriage, I'll tell you to your face, you're a liar. Now the question is, how do you handle that? The devil's bringing a misunderstanding about something my husband said or my wife said. If you're a wise person, you'd say, hey, we're not supposed to be two. We're supposed to be one. I'm not going to listen to the devil. Maybe I need to talk to my partner and clarify, hey, maybe I didn't understand something here. What exactly? I just want to understand you better. And it's cleared. Instead of that, you can keep it in your mind, let it fester and become like pus, destroying your marriage. Who did that? You. You just cooperated with the devil in allowing it to fester in your mind. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, in marriage, your battle is not with your wife or husband. It is with Satan. If only Adam and Eve had recognized, no, it's not my wife, it's Satan. Instead of pointing at his wife, he should have pointed at the devil and say, that's the one. But he pointed at his wife. So, let's stop pointing our fingers at each other. There's a great verse in the Old Testament which I love about how your marriage can be like a watered garden. Isaiah 58. Imagine if your life is like Eden. It's a picture of a beautiful marriage. And it says in Isaiah in chapter 58 about this watered garden. In verse 11, you'll be like a watered garden. Think of that as your marriage, like a watered garden. Your marriage will be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. How does it happen? Because in the midst of your problem, verse 9, you call upon the Lord and the Lord answers. You cry and immediately He says, here I am. And you stop pointing the finger at each other. That's what it says there. Do you read it? When you call upon the Lord, stop pointing your finger at each other. Then your life will be like a watered garden. Don't pray to God if you're pointing your finger at your husband and wife and say, Lord, change my wife or change my husband. He's not going to listen to you, first of all, and nothing will happen. I mean, if the servants had gone and complained saying, the manager at Cana, he should have thought about how many people are coming and arranged for more wine. They didn't point the finger at anybody. They just did what Jesus told them to do. Filled up the water pots. That was wine. Better wine than they ever had. God can solve every problem.